Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today, on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin with verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Here's Paul Chappell.
Listen to the words of David in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 18. He said of Saul's daughter, "Who am I that I should be the son-in-law to the king?" He said, "I'm not worthy of that." He said, "Saul, how could you offer me such a position?" Now, someone's attitude might have been, "Hey, hey, hey, I knew you'd pick me all the time. I knew I was the most likely candidate. And Saul, you're getting a good son-in-law here. I want you to know you're not losing a daughter. You're gaining a son-in-law and a fine one at that." What is the opposite of being poor in spirit? Being proud. But David said, "Boy, who am I that I should have this kind of an opportunity?" May I say at this point in our message this morning, let's never get over the fact that God loved us enough to save us. Let's always maintain in our heart the idea and the reality that would say, "I am just glad to be saved today, a child of God." So do you accept others? And then secondly, can we accept circumstances in our life? Do we accept the difficult circumstances in our life? Or do we become angry and critical when things don't go our way? The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul the Apostle speaking, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You see, friend, if we are poor in spirit, yielded to the will of God, we're going to be able to accept others as we're learning to accept where we are in life, and we're going to learn to accept circumstances as an appointment from God. We're going to yield to those circumstances, and we're going to see God's divine will constantly at work on my behalf. And that's why Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am." That includes California, amen. "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That is the attribute of a man who is poor in spirit. And someone who is constantly discontented with where they are and with who they're with, they are filled with pride and have a lacking of the consequence and the understanding of being filled with the Spirit of God and poor in spirit according to the Word of God. And so as we're developing this attribute of being poor in spirit, we are accepting others as we accept ourselves. We are accepting our circumstances. And thirdly, we are accepting God's will for our life. You see, humility will look to God for every need. And if you and I need nothing but God, then nothing and no one will be a threat to you. Nothing and no one will be a threat to you if you need nothing but God. And the one who comes to that place of being poor in spirit says, God, all I need is you. If you want to bless me materially, if you don't want to bless me materially. If you want me to have friends, if you don't want me to have friends. Lord, I'm just going to start right here. It's you and me, and anything additional is a blessing from you. I'll be thankful for it. That's not being poor mouth. It's just being poor in spirit. It's saying, God, you are enough. Oh, it's so important that we come to that place in our life. And sometimes if we don't come to that place in our lives through prayer and Bible reading, God will bring us to that place in our lives through trials. And He'll bring us to that place where we'll say, God, you really are all that I need. And I had to lose these things before I really realized you are all that I need. The definition of someone that is poor in spirit then is someone that is totally yielded to the will of God for their life. Now, not only this morning do we see the definition of poor in spirit, but I want you to see the delight of being poor in spirit. Now, this is in exact contradiction to the philosophy of the world, which says, get all you can and can all you can get. But here we're going to see the delight in being poor in spirit, in being contented and yielded to God. Notice what it says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, as we study the Beatitudes, we're going to see this word, blessed. The word blessed means it's a sacred delight. It means happy are the poor in spirit. And someone says, you're telling me that if I lose situations and lose possessions in my life, and yet I'm content with God, that I can still be happy? That's exactly what the Bible's saying. Truly happy. Someone says, well, how can I be happy? By surrendering my will to Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a few ways that you will be happy and blessed in your life as you surrender your will to Jesus Christ. First of all, you will be happy because humility is Christ-like. The more that we grow in this matter of being poor in spirit, the more that we understand God's attribute of humility, the more we become like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 113 in verse 5, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and earth? Here the Bible asks the question and answers the question. Who is like unto the Lord our God, the Lord on high, the one who humbles himself to behold things that are in heaven and things that are in earth? By the way, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus did. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And so Jesus Christ humbled himself when he left heaven's glory, when he came and was born of the virgin in the manger, when Jesus Christ walked on this old earth for 33 and one half years and then died upon a cross for our sins. What was Jesus doing? He was humbling himself. And yet the Bible says that when you and I humble ourselves, we will be blessed. We will have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And I trust that you're here this morning as a child of God because you would say this morning, I want to be more like Jesus. That's why I'm in church. I want this word to make a difference in my life so that I can be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he humbled himself. And so we delight by being poor in spirit because we are more like Christ when we are poor in spirit. Secondly, when we are poor in spirit, it makes us as a king according to the spiritual definition. Now notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God's word says that when you and I are yielded to God, when we are resting in His will, when we're not trying to take the shortcuts and cut into the fast lane and shortcut on God, but we're really yielded and resting in God's will, that He will cause us to have the kingdom of heaven or to reign as kings. You see, we reign in life by submitting to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear me this morning. No one will ever be given more authority in life until they are first submitting to the authority of God in their life. So when we are submitting and yielding to God, and we are truly poor in spirit through a yielded spirit, then God says, when you are truly poor in spirit, I'm going to give to you my kingdom. I am going to place you in a place of authority. Now we think of that in the life of Saul. And we'll not take the time this morning, but if you would take the time and study throughout 1 Samuel, you would learn about a young king by the name of Saul. And you would find that he was a man who was poor in spirit in the early days of his life. A man who is humble before God. A man who is mightily used of God. But then we see, as he was humble and poor in spirit, God gave to him a kingdom. But when he became filled with pride, God took away from him a kingdom. The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the world today thinks that authority comes from size or self-promotion. But true authority comes from a poverty of our own spirit. Spiritual authority comes from a poverty of spirit when we say, "Lord, I realize my weaknesses. And Lord, I realize that without you, I am nothing. And Lord, I yield my will to you. And I realize that you are all that I need and all that I have." And when we come to that place in our life, God says, "Now I can bless you. Now I can give you responsibility. Now I can increase that responsibility." You see, friend, really, pride will make us a slave. When someone is filled with pride, they are bound to promote themselves. When someone is filled with pride, they're going to go to work and promote themselves. They're going to go to work tomorrow and promote how great they are and how great their weekend is. And nothing was ever really is going to be truthful. It's always self-exaltation. But the fact of the matter is that when we come to that place in our lives where we are poor in spirit by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, now God says, "I can pour my power into you because you are not so filled with yourself." And so we see that there is a tremendous delight in this matter of truly yielding and truly being poor in spirit. Hannah was a lady who was poor in spirit. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I want you just to see God's definition of what it means to be poor in spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And notice in verse number 6, as Hannah is giving here a prophetic prayer, she's asking God and telling God of her love. And I want you to see that Hannah, in verse number 6, gives us some insight to what it means to be poor in spirit. It says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the thrones of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." You see, someone who really is delighting in this matter of being poor in spirit recognizes it is the Lord that lifts up. It is the Lord that takes down. And rather than trying to promote our own cause, rather than trying to pretend we are something that we are not, when we say, "God, I recognize I am a sinner that has been saved by your grace. I have weaknesses, God, and I need your help, God." God says, when we come to this place in our life, then he is able to pour out his power and blessing upon us. And when we humble ourselves, James said, in the sight of the Lord, then he will lift us up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so the definition of being poor in spirit is that we are surrendering our lives to God. We are accepting God's will in our lives. And then the delight in being poor in spirit is that we are more like Jesus Christ and that we are going to reign through humility. We are going to find the kingdom of God is opened up, the blessings of God opened up to us as we are yielding our lives to him. So first of all, this morning, we see the definition of poor in spirit, yieldedness. Secondly, we see the delight of being poor in spirit, that we are blessed, that we are happy, and that we are reigning through his power and through his strength. And then I want you to notice thirdly with me this morning, the development of being poor in spirit. Someone says, "How can I be more like this? How can I develop this characteristic in my life?" We've already stated it is the work of the Spirit and not the work of the flesh. Someone who walks up to you and says, I want you to know I have attained humility. I have attained being poor in spirit. They've not attained it at all. And in fact, about the time we think we have attained it is the time we know for sure we never had it. So how can we develop this? And by the way, the root of every sin that we would ever commit is pride. So how can we really develop a life that is truly poor in spirit? How can we see this wonderful beatitude become an attitude in our life? Well, I want to give you a few thoughts on that this morning. First of all, letter A, remember our condition as sinners. I think if we're going to truly be poor in spirit, we have got to remember the fact that we are sinners and that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be lost and on our way to a Christless hell today. We need to remember that. You see, friend, the fact of the matter is, if I made the most fancy paper airplane in the world today and took it over to NASA and tried to sell it to them, they would not be impressed. The fact of the matter is that if you took a beautiful color crayon drawing to Picasso, he probably would not have been impressed. And the fact of the matter is that when you say, God, look at how good I am and look at what I can do for you, he's probably not going to be impressed. And the way to maintain the attribute of being poor in spirit is to recognize that we really fall short of God's glory apart from Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 and verse number 3 that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves. And so we see that we must remember our condition as sinners. Secondly, we must yield daily to the Word of God. If we will become more like Christ in this matter of being poor in spirit, then we must yield daily to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross, if he was poor in spirit to the extent that he would humble himself to the death of a cross, then as we are filled with his word, we will be enabled by his word to be poor in spirit and to humble ourselves in rendering our lives into the service of the King day by day by day through the power of the word of God. First, I must acknowledge who I really am in comparison to an almighty God. Secondly, I must stay in the Word of God, which will develop the attribute of humility in my life. And thirdly, I must focus on Christ and not on my failures. That's why I love our theme this year. Look to Jesus Christ. And if we will be poor in spirit, we must be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm focusing on my failures, if I'm focusing on my successes, then I am really focusing on me. But if I'm focusing on Jesus Christ, and if I'm looking to Jesus in my everyday life, then I will be poor in spirit, useful in God's hand, and a tool that will be blessed by Him. And so I must remember my condition. I must yield daily to the Word of God. I must focus on Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, I must serve others. If I am truly poor in spirit, one of the attributes will simply be that I'm living a life of service. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. And we will serve others, Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, by love serve one another. Now, when it comes to this matter of serving others, let me give you a quick hint. Don't wait for some big opportunity. Don't say, that's right, preacher. As soon as I'm put in charge of a department, as soon as I'm put in charge of a class, I'll start serving. No, you start serving today in any way that God would let you serve. And be willing to serve. That's the development of a humble spirit, saying, I'm willing to serve in any way that I can serve. Let me know how I can be of service, Lord. I want to serve. And there you have the development of a humble spirit. It takes a little step by a little step. This past week, my daughter Christine was able to go and visit Jessica Downey in the hospital. And she was talking with me about it as she got back. And she said, boy, she said, Dad, it was sure good to see Jessica. And she was talking about some of the time that they had together. And then she said to me, and Christine, just a junior age girl, she said, Dad, She said, you know, we talked to some other people there too. And she said, there's a lot of people in the hospital there that have a lot of real needs. And she said, you know, Dad, as I was looking at a girl about my age, she said, Dad, she had to be in almost like a crib. She couldn't be let out of that crib. And she said, there was plastic around it, Dad, so that she could have air, and the environment for her air had to be protected. And she said, Dad, over next to her was another girl, and she couldn't get out of her bed. And she began to tell me about all these different things. You know, I want you to know something. That little trip to the hospital had a profound effect on my daughter's life. You know, sometimes folks, as we become so wrapped in ourselves, never knock on a door to tell someone about the Lord, never take a dish of food to a dear person in need, never visit a hospital, never really try to help someone with their need, we come really out of touch with spiritual reality. We become so far removed from what it is to be poor in spirit. And we get in our fast lane of self-sufficiency that we fail to realize that God says He's going to bless those who are poor in spirit. And the Bible says that He is going to give to them the kingdom of heaven, or the blessings spiritually that come along with service. And so this morning, the life God blesses, what is it? First of all, it is a life of surrender. It is a life yielded unto God. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says, you want to know who I'm paying attention to? You want to know who I'm going to bless? To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. To the one that's in the fast lane, taking the shortcuts, thinking he did God a favor just by getting to church or just by putting in a tithe check, and he's going to boast about it, that he fasted and he tithed and he's not like other men are. To the one who has the outward form of religion, God says, no, I can do without that. But to the one who says, Lord, I realize my weaknesses, and I realize that you love me and you died for me the way that I am, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I yield myself to you the way that I am, where I am, how I am. I yield myself to you. I know it's not much, Lord, but what it is, you have. And God, you are all that I need. Help me as I serve you. Help me to be content. If a trial comes, it comes. I'm still going to be yours, Lord, and you're still going to be mine. And that's all that's going to matter. And the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for these beatitudes. And Lord, how convicting they are. How much we can learn from them. And I pray that we truly will. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning in this service.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.